your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Wednesday's episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast. It is May 27th, 2020. Your boy Q here. As always, you can definitely find me on Twitter at yourboyq254. Hopefully, you got off to a good Tuesday, because sometimes when you have a holiday on Monday and you don't work, your Tuesday is really, really hard, really difficult. I'll tell you right now, man, on ESPN Central Texas on Tuesday, I had a jam-packed show. I think we had six total guests on the show in a three-hour show, and I'm telling you, it went by like boom, 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 just because we had so much that we were trying to catch up on from Monday and Tuesday. Now, it made for a really good show. Don't get me wrong. We had a lot of fun, as we do each and every day. But man, oh man, it was like fast and furious. By the time I took a deep breath, the show was already over. So hopefully you were able to manage through the beginning of your week, if in fact Tuesday was the beginning of your week like it really was for me. But here on the Locked On Raider podcast, we're going fast and furious every single day. So hopefully you enjoyed that conversation I had with Kirk Morrison on the podcast on Tuesday. Again, like I mentioned, talked all things NFL. Didn't just, you know, pigeonhole it to just Raiders, because, well, Kirk does a lot of things and covers a lot of different areas of the NFL, and it was just good to catch up with him and just, you know, shoot the bull, man. Talk a little bit of NFL with Kirk Morrison. And he saw that organically he actually went into the Raiders a few times and talked pretty highly about the Raiders and John Gruden and what he thought of the expectations for this season. So hopefully you enjoyed that. If you didn't get to hear that interview, it was on Tuesday's episode here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up on today's show, segment number three, I got your calls and your texts, just a handful of them straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. That's the number, man. Go ahead and lock that in your phone anytime you want to hit it up and leave a message, or even, like I said, you can send a text message or a call. It don't matter. It's all good in the hood, 707-654-4693. Coming up is segment number two, going to talk about the rankings that are out. ESPN has a win projection out for all 32 teams in the league, and let me just say, I usually don't pay a lot of attention to these kind of things, but just for some reason, this one really caught my eye, and maybe it's just because of my expectations for the Raiders this season. And look, my expectations may be too high, but either way, their projections are out, and it's for all 32 teams. And, well, I'm not even going to tell you where the Raiders are ranked right now, because we'll talk about it in segment number two. But let me tell you, it's sure not in the top 10, and it will not make the playoffs if the Raiders win as many games as ESPN has them ranked to win. So that's coming up in segment number two. Going to talk about their rankings and then go over the schedule again and kind of pick out the wins and, you know, say, okay, well, maybe this is a loss here or whatever, and just see if we can understand where ESPN is coming from. That's all going to come up in segment number two. Here in segment number one, I'm going to give you the news and the notes of the day, as I always do. And of course, it is brought to you by the Built Bar. And I actually got my box of Built Bars in the mail on Tuesday. And I got three flavors. And it's so funny because I was trying to remember the third flavor that I got. I don't know why I ordered them, and then I forgot exactly what flavors I got. But I got in a box of 18, 6 coconut almond, 6 toffee almond, and 6 salted caramel chocolate. So those are the three flavors that I got. 18 box, and they're really, really good, and I'm excited. I got them all in the refrigerator right now, and going to be taking one to work each and every day, like I mentioned before. So I'll tell you about the Built Bar at the end of segment number one. I'll also tell you how to get $10 off your first box. But let's go ahead and jump into the NFL news and notes of the day. And actually, before I get into that, there's all these little side notes I got going on, right? I was interviewed by Locked On NFL Draft on Tuesday afternoon to talk all things Raider draft class. And, you know, I heard a lot of people say that that was one of their complaints for the crossover edition is that, well, you can only talk about the draft class so much, but you know, the guys that actually hosted the NFL draft and did that podcast that were talking to me, Trevor Sigma and Benjamin Solak, I thought they did a really good job. So that might be something that you want to go ahead and check out and listen to. Again, we're talking about all things Raiders draft class in 2020, but just kind of, I don't know, I thought it was a really good conversation. So that'll be the latest episode of Locked On NFL Draft. Trevor Sigma and Ben Solak talked to me about the Raiders, and again, I thought it was a pretty good a good little conversation. So go ahead and check that out after you finish listening to today's episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Now let me go ahead and talk about some of the news and the notes of the day. And there's a lot of good stuff to get to, and it's just kind of little knickknacks here and there, nothing too major. But Jeremy Fowler on Twitter, he had a report talking about coaches from multiple NFL teams are telling him their staffs aren't returning to team facilities until training camp, barring an unforeseen development. Others are holding out hope for in-person work in June, but some teams are making the decision now that everything stays virtual. And the reason why he put this out is because Charles Robinson of Yahoo's Sports, he put out a report saying the sources told him head coaches could return to team facilities as early as next week, with players potentially following in full squad minicamps in mid to late June. Now, this is really fast forwarding from what we've been hearing the last few weeks. So Charles Robinson goes on to say sources also told Yahoo Sports that if coaches resume their in-house work next week, minicamps, including players, could be scheduled as early as June 15th or as late as June 27th, depending on COVID-19 data and whether a handful of franchises get the go-ahead signal from state governments to resume full operations. Resuming full operations and getting a minicamp scheduled would represent the league's biggest step to date toward keeping the 2020 NFL season on track for a regularly scheduled fall kickoff. And then he goes on to say one league source told Yahoo Sports that a declaration from California Governor Gavin Newsom will serve as the key hurdle in whether the NFL can pull off a fully operational minicamp in June. If Newsom opens the way for full team operations without any fan attendance, the league could then give NFL franchises the option of holding a minicamp sometime in June before breaking once again and setting dates for the opening of training camp. If California is open for team operations soon, minicamps can still happen in June, probably late June, but maybe even mid-June, the league source told Charles Robinson from Yahoo. So that's where the whole conversation is as of right now. And of course, California, I don't know if you saw it, and I know this is good news for Mikey the barber, but barbers shops and salons are allowed to start opening back up again, according to California and Governor Gavin Newsom. So I'm assuming that things are going to start opening up in California, which is one of the, you know, probably going to be one of the last states to open up. But New York has already allowed professional teams to go back to the training camp in some capacity. So I'm assuming that California is going to, you know, follow suit pretty soon. But just seeing the news about barbershops and hair salons opening up, and of course the people that are getting their haircuts or hair done have to wear masks, but that's fine, whatever. And I'm sure the ones cutting the hairs have to wear masks as well, but at least that's, you know, that's a step in the right direction. So anyway, Charles Robinson talking about maybe mini camps could open up in June, and then another report saying that coaches aren't even thinking about that. They're planning on doing what the Saints and the Eagles have already said that they're going to do and just not do anything until training camp opens up, whenever it opens up. So it's a couple different conflicting reports out there right now, but there's movement. You know, there's a train on the track and it's moving, and we just can't come to an agreement on how fast it's moving, but there's clearly some movement by the train on the track about getting things opened up, and makes me feel a lot better about NFL being played this year, which I do fully believe it's going to be played. I just don't believe it's going to be full capacity as far as fans. I think it'll be either 25%, 50%, or something to that extent, but I do believe the NFL will go off without a hitch as far as getting the season started on time. Next, I wanted to talk about Coach of the Year, and this is not something that I get too hyped about. There's a lot of things I don't get too hyped about, but still kind of catches my eye, so at times I just want to go ahead and speak on it. So let's go ahead and talk about Coach of the Year and the fact that that Bet Online put out the odds for who could be the Coach of the Year, and Bill Belichick and Bruce Arians, they're actually tied. They have 12-1 odds to win Coach of the Year for the 2020 NFL season. Of course, what we care about here on the Locked On Raiders podcast is where do they have John Gruden and the Raiders. And look, John Gruden's name, I didn't think he would be Coach of the Year, but his name popped up last year when the Raiders were actually on a nice little win streak, and they were up to, I think, what, 6-4? And people were talking about the P word and the playoffs, and, oh man, John Gruden can be, you know, he'll be Coach of the Year if he makes it to the playoffs and everything. Well, we all know that that didn't happen, and he wasn't anywhere close to winning Coach of the Year. Just interesting that his name was in it for a quick minute last year, but then this year, with a team that I believe is a lot more talented, his odds are so, so low. Let's put it like this. When it comes to John Gruden, he has better odds than 1, 2, 3 coaches. in the league. He has better odds than three coaches in the league. Doug Marrone, he of the Jacksonville Jaguars, he has 50-1 odds to win Coach of the Year. Bill O'Brien, old Billy O of the Houston Texans, 50-1. Adam Gase of the Jets, 50-1. Ron Rivera of the Redskins, 40-1. And I told you only three coaches have worse odds than John Gruden. Ron Rivera has 40-1, and that's the exact same odds that John Gruden has. 40-1 to win Coach of the Year. Him, Joe Judge, and Ron Rivera all at 40-1 to win Coach of the Year. Now, to me, it doesn't matter. I don't care about that, but I just find it hilarious that he's in the same category with Doug Marrone, Billy O'Brien, who I think is getting slighted a little bit as well. Bill O'Brien, I do think, is going to put out a good team, but that's a whole nother conversation. I know a lot of people don't like Bill O'Brien, so whatever. Adam Gase, Ron Rivera, John Gruden, Joe Judge of the Giants. You know what I mean? Like, Zach Taylor of the Bengals has a better opportunity to win Coach of the Year than John Gruden, 33-1. Matt Rhule, the guy that I like from the Carolina Panthers, has a better chance of winning Coach of the Year at 33-1 odds than John Gruden. Matt Patricia of the Lions, 33-1. I mean, you kidding me? And I get it. If those teams make the playoffs, then yeah, there's a good shot that they would get Coach of the Year. I understand, because that's a hell of a project. But man, I just think that John Gruden's getting slighted. And again, I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters to him, but I just think it's kind of funny to see him sitting there at 40-1. Hell, Kevin Stefanski from the Browns, he has 18-1 odds. The Browns. The stinking Browns. Again, I don't want to go. I'm not going to go through every team, but I will say I'll go through the AFC West real quick. How about the Denver Broncos? Vic Fangio is at 25-1 odds to win Coach of the Year. How about the LA Chargers? Anthony Lynn, 30-1 odds to win Coach of the Year. And who is the other coach in? oh, just kidding. A really good coach, Andy Reid. He's sitting there at 18-1 odds. So Andy Reid's at 18-1. Vic Fangio's at 25-1. Anthony Lynn at 30-1. And then John Gruden's odds are 40-1. So clearly, the odds makers at Bet Online believe that the Raiders are probably going to have the worst record in 2020 in the AFC West. I'm not buying that, but that's what they're talking about. So I just thought it was pretty interesting to bring that to the table. Speaking of interesting and want to bring to the table, how about the Raiders' win projection? What does ESPN believe their win projection for 2020 is going to be? Matter of fact, I got the win projection for all 32 teams in the league. I'll bring it to you next, and we'll go through the Raiders' schedule and talk about it and see if ESPN is correct, and maybe I'm overshooting what the Raiders should be winning or what my expectations for the Raiders should be this season. Before I get into that, though, I got to tell you about Built Bar. I told you at the beginning of the show that I got my Built Bars in. I got a box of 18, three different really good flavors, coconut almond, toffee almond, and salted caramel chocolate. They're in the fridge right now waiting for me to go ahead and jump right into them. And that's a box that I bought. So that's not the box I got free. I bought that box. So you can buy a box as well. All you got to do is go to BuiltBar.com, promo code locked on, get $10 off your first box. But not only that, something to get excited about, Built Bar has new limited edition flavors. Yeah, I didn't even know about these flavors. I went to the website just to check it out because, well, that's what I do. And all of a sudden, I saw that they have this great specials on. It's like a Memorial Day special that they had going on, and they still continue to have it going on. But they got some new flavors, and I don't know how long they're going to be there for, but how about if you're a blueberry fan, how about blueberry lemon? Sound good to you? Blueberry lemon. Sounds like a nice... I liked yogurt back in the day. That sounds like a good yogurt. Pineapple upside down cake. That's another one. It's got real pineapple in it. And how about coconut pecan pie? I'm a big pecan pie fan. Kind of upset that I didn't know that this was one of the flavors. I might have to go buy some more. No, I can't buy some more right now. I gotta wait. I'm at Built Bars like all over the damn house. I can't do that, but that sounds good. Coconut pecan pie, it really does. And then peanut butter banana. Everyone, even myself back in the day, used to love some peanut butter bananas. Who doesn't like to chop up bananas and put some peanut butter on them? Everybody, even me, the guy who doesn't even eat bananas, I do enjoy that. So you can as well. Those are just some of the limited edition flavors, but they also have all the other good flavors. Peanut butter, banana nut bread, German chocolate cake, coconut almond, toffee almond, peanut butter brownie, just to name a few. And I'm telling you, man, they give you all the details, let you know everything that's in the Built Bar. All you got to do is go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On to get $10 off your first box. But I'm telling you, I have met one person. I'm sorry. I got one tweet from one person who wasn't feeling them, but everyone else, been satisfied, been happy, really did enjoy them, especially when you put them in the fridge. And that's my piece of advice to give to everyone. Once you get them, do like I did and drop them in the fridge immediately. They're really, really good that way. So BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON, $10 off your first box. We definitely appreciate them for being a sponsor of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Segment number two, it's on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are, segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Time to jump into what ESPN's given the, well, entire league, their win projection for an entire 32 teams in the league, and they're also giving them their chance to reach the playoffs. Now, the way you look at this and the way I'm reading this, some teams have more wins than the other team, a higher projection of wins, but still have a less chance of making the playoffs, or they have more wins and a higher percent chance to make the playoffs, but they still have them ranked lower in their ranking. In their, I guess, power ranking that they have. So let's go ahead and go through this. I'm not going to go through all 32 teams, but I obviously will concentrate on the AFC West because that's all that really matters. So Kansas City Chiefs, they have as the number one team in the league. Projected wins, 11.2. Chance to reach the playoffs, 94%. I think everyone that's alive and kicking, and even those that aren't alive and kicking, realize Kansas City is going to be in the playoffs in 2020. Unless something crazy happens, which, of course, in the NFL, things happen, injuries happen, and we don't, you know, wish that on anybody, even the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, if injuries happen, then things could change. But right now, as everything stands, they have them projected to win 11.2 games and a chance to reach the playoffs 94%. So if it's 11.2, I'll just round that off to 11 wins. You know what I mean? I'm not going to give them 0.2 because you can't have a 0.2 win. The next team that they have ranked in the AFC West, you got to go all the way down to number 17. And they have the Denver Broncos. Projected wins, 7.4. Chance to reach the playoffs, 32%. So that's not very good. I mean, 7.4, I'll round that to 7. You know, I'm not going to give them 8 wins because it's not 7.5. It's just 7.4. So I'll give them 7 wins in 2020, and that gives them a 32% chance to make the playoffs, even with the, you know, the new updated playoff format where you're getting a couple extra teams in each year. Next, for the AFC West, they go all the way down to number 20. Projected wins for number 20? The LA Chargers, 7.7 projected wins. So basically, you can round that up to 8. 8 projected wins is what they're giving the LA Chargers, even though they have them ranked number 20th. And then they say chance to reach the playoffs for the Chargers, 35%. So as you know, there's only 4 teams in the AFC West. So that leaves the Las Vegas Raiders less than all the teams last in the AFC West. They have them down at number 23 projected wins, 6.9. So let's round that up to 7. It's just about 7. How are you going to give them a 0.9? So projected wins, 6.9. Chance to reach the playoffs, 24%. I'll tell you right now, before we even go through the schedule, if the Raiders come away with 7 wins in 2020 and they only have that 24% chance of reaching the playoffs, which I believe is 0% chance of making the playoffs, that is an absolute 100% fail. Somebody needs to go and sit down with each other and look at each other in the office and say, what the hell went wrong? If the Raiders come away with only 7 wins in 2020, that is a failed season. No doubt about it. In 2019, it was a better, improved season because they improved from 4 wins the year before. But if they sit there and only get 7 wins, which is what they had in 2019, it is a 100% absolute fail. John Gruden needs to go look in the mirror, wonder what the hell he's doing wrong. Paul Gunther needs to know, look in the mirror and say, what the hell is he doing wrong? And hell, Mike Mayock needs to sit down and say, what the hell am I doing wrong? And Mark Davis needs to look and say, I'm paying all y'all, so I'm doing something wrong. There's a problem there. So they come away with 6.9 wins, which again, rounded up to 7. That is a problem. So now, let's go ahead and take a look at their schedule. I said when the schedule came out, I thought that they could go anywhere from 9-7 to 11-5. That's the window. I feel like that's an acceptable window. 8-8, whatever. They got to win. I think they got to improve by at least a couple games in the third year under John Gruden. That's just me. That's how I feel about it. So let's go ahead and look at their schedule for 2020, and let's pick apart and find the wins, where we as fans believe that the wins will come from. So looking at the Raiders' schedule for 2020, it goes like this. First game of the year, the Raiders are on the road taking on Matt Rhule and the Carolina Panthers, a team that is in 100% rebuild mode. You could tell that when they moved on from Cam Newton. They brought in Teddy Bridgewater, but he's really just kind of a bridge guy. Now, look, I'll give the Panthers a lot of credit. They had a really good offseason. They had a really good draft as far as I'm concerned, but they're going to really struggle in this year because who knows what kind of actual real on-the-field training these guys are going to get. I think first-year head coaches and a lot of veterans that are and brand new systems are going to struggle. I think Matt Rhule is going to struggle out the gates. And traditionally, if you go back and look at what Matt Rhule does, oh, by the way, he's a first-time head coach in the NFL, period. He struggles in his first year. So I believe that that's a win. Even though the game's on the road for the Raiders, I believe that that's a win. Second game of the season, they finally open up Allegiant Stadium. It's a Monday Night Football game versus the Saints. Now, if there's fans in the stands, it's going to be rowdy. There's going to be Raider fans and there's going to be Saints fans there. Now, who knows exactly how many fans are going to be there, but that'll be a tough game, no doubt about it. I mean, that's probably one that the Raiders look like, man, I really wish that was the Panthers and not the Saints, because that's going to be a tough game. So it's the first game at Allegiant Stadium. I just have a feeling that that extra edge and that extra excitement by the players is going to help them get over the top and win that game. But that's a possible loss right there. That could be a very strong possibility to lose, because the Saints are a really good game. So I gave them a win, the Raiders a win in that game. But let's just go ahead and give them a loss. Let's just say, okay, they took an L there. So they're 1-1 going into week 3 in Foxborough against the Patriots. Tom Brady's not there anymore. Is that Foxborough magic still there? Is it going to be Jarrett Stidham as the guy? I know Bill Belichick is a hell of a coach, and I know his odds to win Coach of the Year are 12-1, just like Bruce Arians is, but I'm sorry, that's got to be an L, and I think I gave the Patriots a win before because of being in Foxborough, but the more I think about that, I got to just roll with the Raiders in that game. Another one on the road, so I say that's two wins right there. Then they return home to play the Bills, and this is not going to be pretty. I don't think that the Bills are going to be a team that's going to be a pushover team, so I believe the very first time I went through the schedule, I gave the Raiders a loss in that game. I'm sticking with that. So after 4 weeks, they're 2-2, and they have not won a game at Allegiant Stadium yet, according to what we're doing right now. Again, that Saints game, I feel good about it because it's the first one at Allegiant Stadium, but just for the sake of argument, and I know that the Saints are a really good team, I'm going to give them that L. So after 4 weeks, they're 2-2. Then week 5 at the Chiefs. Of course, that's going to be a hard game, very hard game on the road. Division rival. Chiefs are a really good team. They're returning a lot of players. It's October 11th, so I think that, you know, Derek Carr is in a better situation where it's not a super cold game. It's not them coming off a bye. The Raiders actually get them a little bit later in the year coming off a bye. So I think this is the best chance for the Raiders to beat the Chiefs. If they're going to beat the Chiefs in 2020, which I do believe that they split, I'm going to say that they win this Week 5 game before they go into their bye. So at the very least, the way I look at it, I think did I give the Raiders at first like a 4-1? I might have gave them 4-1. I think I gave them 3-2. Yeah, after 5 games, I'm giving them 3-2. In my heart, I feel like they're 3-2. Then they got the Buccaneers, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers in week 6. I don't know how well they'll be clicking at that point. That's also a game at a Allegiant Stadium coming out of the bye. I think the Raiders at the very least pick up their first win in Allegiant Stadium against the Buccaneers at the very latest. If they don't win against the Saints and the Bills, I think they pick up their first home win on October 25th versus the Buccaneers. So I'm already looking at 4 wins right there. Remember, ESPN only gave the Raiders 6.9, which we rounded off to 7. So I'm looking at 4 right there. Then they're on the road November 1st at the Browns. I don't know about you, Raider Nation, but I don't think the Browns are that good. I really don't. The Browns don't scare me at all. I think me, you, Mama Q, Wife Q, I think we could all go to battle, and I think we have a good chance against the Browns. No disrespect, but I just think that we have a good chance. So I'm going to go ahead and say that the Raiders, who are not us, are going to go and win that game. So that's 5 wins I have for the Raiders already. And that's after, what, 7 weeks? After 7 weeks, I have the Raiders sitting at 5 wins. Then they play in LA against the Chargers, and that's like a home game. That is absolutely like a home game. I do think that they'll split with the Chargers, but I don't think this is going to be the one L that they take. So I'm going to give them a win on November 8th against the Chargers. That's already, in my opinion, in my book, 6 wins. And even if you go back and look and say, okay, you know what? They lost to the Chiefs right before the bye. They weren't ready to win that game. So, okay, then you put them at 5. So either way, I look at this November 8th against the Chargers. They're either sitting at 5 wins or 6 wins. And they still have plenty of games left to go. So 5 or 6 right there, depending on, you know, how a game goes here or there, whatever. You know what I mean? Crazy things happen. So I think at the very worst, after the November 8th game, the Raiders have at least 5 wins by then. I'm saying 6. Then they return to Allegiant Stadium on November 15th to play the Broncos. So basically, that's like 2 home games in a row, because the Chargers are a home game in LA, and then they go to Allegiant Stadium and they play against the Broncos. I definitely believe that they win that game as well. I really do, and I think Denver is going to be a better team this year, and I have them splitting with the Raiders, but I have the Raiders winning this one in November in Allegiant Stadium. I don't see them taking that loss. So let's say at the very least they're at 6 wins already. Now remember, ESPN only gave them 6.9. I rounded it up to 7. Next week, 11-22. That's against the Chiefs, and the Chiefs are coming off the bye. I know that's at Allegiant Stadium, but I'm giving the Raiders the L on that one. That's a very tough game. The Chiefs are really, really good. Andy Reid is an impeccable head coach coming off the bye. I just give him a loss there. So, okay, so the Raiders took another L. But look, they're still sitting at least 6 wins. All right, they got at least 6 wins by November 22nd. So, in my opinion, they're still in the playoff hunt. Then the next week, November 29th, they're on the road, but they're in Atlanta in a dome, and they're playing against the Falcons. I don't think the Falcons are that good. I really don't. Tell me what about the Falcons scares you. I mean, really. Dan Quinn, I respect as a head coach, but I don't think that that team's that great. I mean, they've really struggled. Dan Quinn, in my opinion, probably should have been fired after last season. He wasn't. He was kept around. The GM was kept around. And basically, they've got to win now this season. And I'm not buying what they've done this offseason. I didn't think it was that great. I didn't think they made very good moves. And so I think that the Raiders win again against the Falcons. And that's November 29th. So at the very least, that's 7 wins. I think by November 29th, the Raiders have 7 wins. Then they go on the road to the Jets, November 6th. Well, they played the Jets last year and didn't do too well, right? They took an L, and it was an embarrassing L. So do the Jets bounce back and play even better, or do the Raiders bounce back and play a lot better and beat them on the road? I'll just go ahead and say that the Raiders lose that game. So they're still sitting at 7 wins. All right, how many games do they have left? 1, 2, 3. They have 4 games left, and I have them sitting at 7 wins already. They return home December 13th, against the Colts. Phillip Rivers, if he's even still the quarterback at that point, he might not even be in the game anymore. I don't know. His arm strength looked terrible in 2019. It really did look like he was at the end of his rope. They only gave him a 1-year deal. They have weapons around him, really good offensive line, nice wide receivers, good running game. But can the trigger man, Phillip Rivers, be the dude? I'm going to go ahead and say no. I say that the Raiders beat the Colts at Allegiant Stadium on December 13th. That right there, my friends, is already 8 wins. Now, I don't think that that's better. I think that they need to do better than that. The next game they have is on a short week versus the Chargers, and that's at Allegiant Stadium. I actually said that they took a loss on that one. I said that they were going to split with the Chargers, so I'll give the Chargers that December 17th game. I think they're going to be a pretty good team in 2020. So now the Raiders have 8 wins after December 17th. Still in the playoff hunt, in my opinion. And then the Dolphins come to play. 12-27, right after Christmas, a couple days after Christmas, they play in Allegiant Stadium, and I think that that's a win. I think the Dolphins, even though they played better last year under Brian Flores, you know, in a year that everyone thought that they were tanking, I don't think that they pick up a win in Allegiant Stadium against the Raiders. I just don't see that. So I see the Raiders winning that game. That's 9 right there. So that was my floor, not my ceiling. My ceiling was 11, but my floor was 9. That's 9 wins right there against the Dolphins, and then I'll have them losing that January 3rd game against the Broncos. Now, if they go 9-7, I don't know if they make the wild card. I mean, I really don't. I think to make the wild card, you got to get at least double-digit wins, 10. But worst-case scenario, I see them at 9, and I just don't see them winning only 7 games, what ESPN hasn't projected. Look, you can chime in and let me know what you think, 707-654-4693. You can send a text message. You can call in. You can hit me up on Twitter, at your boy Q254. It is all good. But if you go through that schedule, I picked out 9 wins at the minimal. Again, my window. The floor is 9. The ceiling is 11. If they make 11, they're in the playoffs. 10, they might be on the outside looking in, depending on what the rest of the division does and what the rest of the AFC does. But I definitely think that they have an opportunity to win at least the 9 games, and that's a 2-game improvement off of what they did the year before. But you would still like to see them knocking on the door and finding a way to get that wild card and get into the playoffs. But as far as ESPN and the way that they had him ranked at 6.9, basically 7 wins, I think that that's just, I think they're underselling. Yeah, they have the Raiders ranked at number 23. I think the Raiders will be better than number 22, the Cardinals, 21, the Bears, 20, the Chargers, 19, the Browns, 18, the Falcons, 17, the Broncos. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, the Raiders have an opportunity to be a lot better than a lot of these teams. I mean, they have the Jaguars, the worst team. They have the Redskins second, the Bengals third, the Panthers fourth, the Lions fifth, and Miami sixth, Giants seven. Jets 8, Texans 9, Raiders 10th worst, you know. So basically they'd be picking number 10 overall in the 2021 draft. So give me your thoughts, 707-654-4693. Speaking of your thoughts, they're coming up next in segment number 3 of today's Locked On Raiders podcast.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team
every day.
Here we are, Raider Nation, segment number three of today's Locked On Raider podcast on this May 27th, this Wednesday, May 27th, 2020. Your boy Q here. Just had a very spirited conversation about how many wins I think that the Raiders could pick up and where I see their wins coming from in 2020 as opposed to what ESPN sees. And I would love, actually, and they didn't do this, I would love to see the games that they think the Raiders win and the ones that they think lose, the Raiders lose in, just because, just a little comparison and contrast. I would love to see that, but they didn't put that out there. But now it's your time to shine. Whatever you want to say, whatever's on your mind, definitely let me know. 707-654-4693. Got some texts and calls I want to get to. And the first one comes from Joe from SoCal. Q, thank you for adding the Bubba Sparks audio to the new booty collars and texts. I've been waiting for that. You had me rolling. Keep up the good work. That's all for today. Raider Nation for Life, Joe from SoCal. No doubt about it, my man. Definitely appreciate you. And I can't take credit for that. That was actually Bourbon Raider. He has suggested that. He actually played it on the podcast one day. And I was like, man, I got that instrumental. I don't know why I haven't played that a long time ago. I've been saying new booty. So I might as well go ahead and just roll with it. And yeah, let's just have a little bit of fun. That's what we do around here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. Next up is a call from T3 Raider Facts. Five quick hits of the day. He's calling in to talk about the Raiders' birthday. A couple Raiders' birthdays in particular. Talk about Kirk Morrison, the interview I had on the show on Tuesday, Prince of Makamura, Jamal Adams, his price tag, and of course this podcast. Here he is, T3 Raider Facts.
This is T3 Raider Facts with my five quick hits of the day. Number one, two Raider birthdays to celebrate this week. May 21st, we celebrated the birthday of legendary running back Pete Banaszak. He was brought in by the Raiders out of the University of Miami in 1966, and he played with the Raiders until 1978. He was affectionately known by his teammates as the Rooster, and he was right in the middle of the action in the famous Holy Roller play against San Diego. And May 27th marked another Raiders birthday, receiver Mike Siani. Mike was drafted in the first round in 1972 out of Villanova, the same school that produced Howie Long in the same draft that brought in Cliff Branch, who should be in the Hall of Fame we all know. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but while Cliff was still developing as a receiver, Mike finished second in the Rookie of the Year balloting that year behind Franco Harris. Number two, Q, great interview with Kirk Morrison on Tuesday's show. Always good to hear from Captain Kirk, and I hope you get him back on the show at some point. I own two number 52 jerseys, one of his and another player's who I still have buried in a drawer somewhere from 2018. Oh, well. Number three, I want to go on record about how much I love the signing of Prince Amukamara. I could really see him starting the year at corner opposite Trayvon Mullen while Arnett continues to learn the ropes and eventually take over at that spot. What the defensive backfield has now that it didn't have before was quality, experience, depth. And I think that will be one of the difference makers in 2020. Number four, I love Jamal Adams as a player. Right now, I think the price tag is too high to consider bringing him in. If we were going to pull the trigger on a guy and give up picks and money on a re-signed deal, I would have done it for Ngakoue. Now, if the Jets don't get a deal done and the Raiders could work it, I would love to have him. But just a cautionary tale, we will have to address the quarterback position at some point. And if you give up a high draft pick, well, I'm just saying. Number five, Q, as I continue to research and put together Raiders content, I want to tell you this once again in front of all your listeners. You set the bar really, really high. You bring a professional delivery, a high level of knowledge, not only about the Raiders, but other teams as well. You keep it fun, and you keep it real. That's what makes this show what it is, and that's another reason why we keep getting so many new booties. Keep up the great work, Q. All right, Raider Nation, stay strong, stay safe, stay passionate, because as you know, passion always outlives fashion.
There he is right there, T3 Raider Facts with his five quick hits of the day, and definitely appreciate you calling in with that. And yeah, I thought the Kirk Morrison interview was really good. That's a good dude, man. I really, really like Kirk. Like I mentioned on Tuesday, met him many, many years ago at Lamont Jordan's birthday party. He's always been a real good dude to me, even when I was basically a new booty in the sports game. I mean, when I met him, I was in hip-hop radio. When I first saw him at a Super Bowl, the matter of fact, the very first Super Bowl I saw him at was in New Orleans. It was against Baltimore and San Francisco. That was the very first Super Bowl I had attended, and I saw him there, and man, he acted like I was his homeboy from back in the day, like super cool. So Kirk's always been a really, really good dude. Prince of Makamura, I think you're right about him, where he could probably start off the season, even though I think Arnett's going to win that job. But either way, if he doesn't, that's okay, because Prince is a guy that's been there, done that, and he can hold it down until Damon Arnett is ready. Jamal Adams, his price tag is steep. It really is, and I ain't going to lie to you, man. I've still been wrestling back and forth on if I want the Raiders to go ahead and pull that move or not, and I know there's a lot that are saying, hey, man, the Raiders aren't just one player away from winning like a Super Bowl, but, man, I don't know. Jamal Adams is a dude, but I understand his price tag is really, really high, and thank you so much for the compliments on this podcast. Definitely appreciate that. Next up is a text from Old Hollerin' Raider. I like that, man. Old Hollerin' Raider, he hit me up and said, I'm Old Hollerin' Raider right here in the desert. Wanted to give you props for a great interview with Kirk Morrison and express my absolute delight on the new booty alarm. That's some mad evil genius shit. See how he did that? He censored his own words. I like that. Keep up the great work. Looking forward to hearing the guest focus on the trenches. Old Hollerin' Raider out. Cheers. Oh, by the way, Brandon Thorne, perhaps as a guest to focus on the trenches. Old Hollerin' Raider out. Thank you so much for that text. Definitely appreciate you. And yeah, I'll have to look into that because, again, I think the trenches are an area that the Raiders can win in. You know, and I think when the Raiders were winning in 2019, they were winning precisely that, in the trenches. Offensive line and defensive line were doing really good things, slowing down the run defensively. They weren't getting after the quarterback as much, but then they were really slowing down the run. And then when they started not slowing down the run as much, they were getting after the quarterback a little bit more. So if they could find a way to put that together on the defensive side of the ball, things are going to look really good, especially with the addition of Malik Collins. I really like that. I think that's one of the most underrated signings that they had in free agency, and I see a lot of people are starting to pick up on that now, but I've been talking about Malik Collins as a really good pickup since the day that the Raiders signed him. And the offensive line, I mean, they're just studs. You know, they really are. They did really well in 2019. I expect them to be even better in 2020, and I do think at some point in the season, you're going to see Big John Simpson, the fourth-round draft pick out of Clemson. I think he's going to play a role as well, so just kind of watch out for that. But definitely thank you for that text, and I'll definitely look into Brandon Thorne and see what he has going on. Next up is a call from Raider Blind Rage. He actually is calling in about Friday's show, and he called on Friday, but he called about Friday's show to talk about the biggest difference makers on this year's team. He also brings up the Built Bar and what his thoughts are about them, and this is an unsolicited comments by Raider Blind Rage. Here he is.
What up, Q? What up, Nation? Your boy Blind Rage up here in Northern California. Just listened to Friday's podcast. And listen, Q, I was trying to guess along with you when you said, who do I think is going to have the most impact? And I paused my Alexa, and we weren't too far off each other. I was thinking Nick Wachowski. But, hey, I'm good with both those linebackers. We're on the same page there, brother. I think those are your two X factors. I really feel good about what those two guys are going to bring to the table this year. And I think there will be a this year once we get past this madness, this house arrest. I won't get into that, but, you know, you pretty much know how I feel right there with that comment. And another thing I wanted to cover is the Built Bars. Yes, sir. I did order a box of Built Bars. For those who don't know, after I ordered my first box, I got a email giving me buy one box, get one free. So I went ahead and took advantage of that because my daughter's on the Built Bar trip. So now I'm pretty well stocked up on the Built Bars. And I'm not just saying because they're a sponsor of the podcast, which we all appreciate, but they're actually really damn good. I mean, a lot of these protein bars, let's face it, it's like chewing on a chunk of wax or something. But, you know, I've found some really good flavors, and I haven't had them all. But the chocolate coconut definitely is on hit. And I heard you mention a chocolate raspberry. I did not see that flavor on their site, so I'm going to have to revisit that. Under I saw 18 flavors. And I've got some downstairs I haven't even tried yet. But, yeah, shout out to Built Bar, and thank you for sponsoring my favorite podcast. So and with that, go Raiders. Love the Nation. Stay safe, stay smart, and hey, let's open up this country again, man. This is getting stupid. I'm not trying to go political, but hey, I had to say what was on my mind. Peace out, Raider Nation.
There he is, Raider Blind Rage from the 209 Northern California, representing right there. And, yeah, again, this call came in on Friday, and it was about the conversation we were having about biggest difference makers. And I'm sorry that it took me so long to get to it, but, yeah, I agree with you. I think the linebacker room is so important, and they solidified it, and the Raiders did a good job of that. You know, I thought they had to go into the draft and go after a Kenneth Murray or a Patrick Queen or something like that, and they obviously didn't have to do that because of what they were able to do in free agency. That was so important, and I feel like that position has been neglected for so long for the Raiders, and they finally made that a priority. And, you know, the other thing about that is, and I'm not saying this as any shade to anyone, I just know that we were talking about that, and I was really, really adamant about the linebacking room, and all of a sudden I've seen a bunch of articles out there by different outlets about the linebacking room for the Raiders, and I get it, man. It's May, so it's hard to come up with something to talk about. So sometimes you get ideas from other directions and other places, and maybe it's just conversation you see on Twitter, and I do that all the time, but it's just funny. We were talking about the linebacking room in a major way, and I'm starting to see a lot of different people kind of latch onto that and talk about how much improved it is. So maybe we're onto something. Maybe we're really onto something, and the linebacking room is the the most improved, and Corey Littleton and Nick Kwiatkowski are going to do some good things. And I don't know if you noticed in that Kirk Morrison interview, but he was giving Corey Littleton a lot of praises and actually said that his better play was going to be still yet to come, and Paul Gunther was a major reason why. I just like what he had to say about Corey Littleton, so I'm very excited about that. Thank you so much for the call, and great compliments on the Built Bar, and I'm glad that you enjoy them. Like I said, I got my box of 18 in with three good, really good flavors. I'm sorry about that raspberry one. That was one that I think I just made up in my mind when I was trying to figure out what I what I ordered, and it didn't sound right, but you know, it was a suggestion to me, so I roll with it. But coconut almond, toffee almond, and salted caramel chocolate. Those are the three flavors that I received on Tuesday. Next up is a text from Jay Autumn Wind. I just got a couple more for you. Jay Autumn Wind says, good morning, Q. It's your boy Jay, the Autumn Wind from San Gabriel Valley. Been listening to your show for over a year. Ooh, does that mean that he's a new booty? I think that means he's a new booty. Hold on, we got to sound the alarm. Hold on, we got to start this thing over. There it is. Let's go ahead and start this thing over because I believe Jay, the Autumn Wind, is a new booty. He said, good morning, Q. It's your boy, Jay, the Autumn Wind from San Gabriel Valley. Been listening to your show for over a year now, and I love it. Don't change. Just want to thank you for your insight, your perspective, and your football IQ. Also, a shout-out to Duntov. He has a YouTube channel, Raiders 1967. Check him out if you haven't already. He has good content on the progress of Allegiant Stadium and their practice facility. Q, thank you very much for always keeping it Raider. Stay up, Raider Nation. Jay, the Autumn Wind. And I believe, like I said, he was a new booty, so I had to sound the alarm one time. If you're not, my bad. I just got trigger happy, and I just had to go ahead and roll with it. So thank you so much for that text. Appreciate you. Next up and finally is a text from Murrieta Raider. AQ, Murrieta Raider here. Hope all is well with you, and thanks for your hard work you do for these podcasts on the daily. I don't know if it's me, but I feel like everyone in this draft has the potential to be a starter, not right away, but in the future. I don't know if I'm the only fan who feels that way, but they got some guys who can go out there and play some ball. What's your opinion on that? Thanks, Q. Keep up the great work. Again, Murrieta Raider on that text. And I can't disagree with you. I really can't. And the reason why I can't disagree with you, I mean, a lot of fans will be like, oh, of course, you're just a fan of the team and you think everyone's going to be great. The thing about it is the Raiders didn't have a pick after the fourth round. So you look at all those guys, I expect every single one of those guys on the team that was drafted to make the team. It's not like you have a seventh round guy like you did in 2019 or a sixth round guy. You don't go any lower than the fourth round. John Simpson, is he going to be a starter someday? Absolutely. Is to start off 2020? Probably not. Amik Robertson, is he going to be a starter someday? Probably. Maybe to start 2020? Probably not. But those are the two fourth round guys. Both of those guys, in my opinion, at some point will be starters. You look at, you know, the round three guys, Tanner Muse, maybe he won't be a starter, but he'll be a special team starter. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I guess he will be a starter at some point. He'll be a special team, what do you call himself, a war daddy? That's a third round pick right there. Brian Edwards, I mean, he has a possibility. Maybe when Tyrell Williams isn't there, maybe he'll be a starter then. You got Lynn Bowden Jr. He's a third-round pick as well. He could possibly be a guy. You know, maybe he lines up in the slot at the start games off. I mean, if he doesn't start games, and if these guys don't start, they'll probably get in pretty early. I guess that's the biggest point that I'm trying to make. And then you go to the first round, Henry Ruggs III, absolutely. Damon Arnett, absolutely. I mean, when you only have two firsts, three thirds, and two fourths, and that's your whole draft class, I expect all those guys to make the team, and I expect like 99% of them to be starters at some point. So I don't think that you're far off. I think that, you know, people would be a little crazy if you didn't think that at some point they're all going to be starters. So thank you so much for that text. Definitely appreciate you. Thanks for all the feedback that we got today on the Locked On Raider podcast. Voicemail line 707-654-4693. We'll be back tomorrow with some more calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Some more NFL news and notes of the day. Just kind of whatever I can come up with, just, you know, that has to do with the Raiders or the NFL in general. And then we'll have some topic to talk about as well for segment number two. So yeah, keep doing what you're doing. Make sure you listen to the Locked On Draft Dudes now that you're done with this episode. And don't forget, if you want to check out and hear some more Raider news, or not news, but just Raider content, Raider talk, I am on the latest edition of Locked On NFL Draft. So there's a couple podcasts for you to listen to now that you're done with this one, Locked On Draft Dudes or Locked On NFL Draft. So Raider Nation, have a great day. And until tomorrow, as always, just win, baby.